Open your Bible, if you would, to John chapter 3. That's where we're going to be taking our text from this morning. Got a lot of scriptures, so we're going to be bouncing back and forth. But John chapter 3, let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us today, Lord, to just be here, Lord. Father, that you touched our lives in such a way, Lord, that we were able to get here, Father, in this land that we live that's free to worship you. But Father, this morning we've come together, Lord, not as another religious exercise. Father, we desire you. We desire the power and the anointing of the Spirit of the living God to be upon our lives, Lord. So, Father, I pray this way, Lord, that you would anoint this day. Anoint everything, Father God. Father, we thank you for your presence in this room, Father. There is nothing, Father, that is comparable to your presence. So we thank you and bless you, Lord, for the lives that you touched and ministered to around these altars already, Lord. But we know you're not complete. Father, you want to touch us even more, Lord. So we just put our lives in your hands today. We ask, Father, anoint, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, this morning I want to make sure that we kind of get a little preface before we get into the main body of the message. I want to make sure that we all know that Jesus is going to come back one of these days. I mean, folks, It's been established, it has been willed by the Father, and so it's going to happen. There's absolutely nothing that can happen on this earth that is going to hinder his return, period. And one thing the Bible says, it says in Revelation chapter 1, verse number 7, it says whenever he comes back, it says he's going to be coming in the clouds, it says that every eye will see him. Now I want you to think about that. All of humanity on the earth, it says every eye will see him. I have to be very honest with you. I think at that moment in time, whenever Jesus makes his return, I have an idea that there's going to be a lot of opinions change. Come on. He's coming back. I don't know if it's going to be today or tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. I have no idea to know, but I do know this. I know that while he is seated at the right hand of his Father, he has given us, his church, his bride, something to do on this earth. And that is to make him known. Come on. In other words, what he said is, he says, I want people to see me before they see me. He's coming back and they're all going to see him. But you see, he's not about being unseen in this period of time. Between now and whenever he comes back, he doesn't want to be unseen. He wants everybody to see him. Come on. But he's made a way, you see, so that folks around us, people around our lives, can see him. In John chapter 8, verse 12, the Bible says that Jesus, speaking to his disciples, he says, hey, I am the light of the world. Jesus makes that declaration. I am the light of the world. He says, he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So Jesus makes this declaration all the way in John chapter 8. But in Matthew chapter 5, he makes another declaration. The disciples there in John chapter 8, they're looking at him and they see him make this statement. He says, I am the light of the world. But now in Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light of the world. You see, there's a transition that's taking place. I am the light of the world, but now he's telling his disciples, he says, you are the light of the world. He says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. So Jesus is making this statement about he wants men to see him. He's the light of the world. And folks, one thing that I can tell you emphatically is this. Whenever you light a candle in a dark room, you can see it. Come on. You light a little bitty tiny candle in a dark room, you can see that candle. It just illuminates the whole room. And so Jesus says that I am the light of the world. He came into a world filled with darkness. And now as he has tag-teamed his church and he says, listen, I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father. He says, I'm telling you, you guys are the light of the world. Go let your light shine into the world. Go let your light shine in the world. This morning, for the third week in a row, I'm preaching about John the Baptist. Two Sundays I've preached about John the Baptist, now I'm preaching about him again. See, John Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came and he was a voice crying in the wilderness. He says, prepare the way of the Lord. And boy, I got to tell you this morning, I really believe there's some folks in here saying, listen, we got to prepare the way of the Lord because his presence rushed into this place. Woo! If you weren't feeling that, you just aren't feeling, period. I thank the Lord for his presence. John the Baptist was that individual that ushered the presence of God into this planet. But now John the Baptist, Jesus' ministry is going. John the Baptist has basically come to the end of his ministry because his ministry was to announce the coming of Jesus Christ. And now Jesus is out and he's preaching, he's baptizing, so on and so forth. And John's disciples come to him in John chapter 3 and they kind of say, John, you know, it's just not really good because he's getting all the attention and you're really not getting any. And John makes this amazing statement. I mean, I got to tell you, John the Baptist was an amazing guy. He really was. Jesus himself, he said that there's no greater prophet that's ever lived beside John the Baptist. Are you listening to me? I mean, I'm talking about Elijah. These guys that were just amazing men of God, but yet Jesus says nobody is greater than John the Baptist. So John the Baptist, he's hearing what his disciples are saying. And in John chapter 3, and that's where I had you turn, skip all the way if you would to verse number 30. And this is what John the Baptist tells his disciples. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now let's put that in perspective. They're talking about Jesus. And they're talking about the ministry of Jesus. And they're talking kind of how the ministry of Jesus is now surpassing the ministry of John. And John says this. He says, I must decrease, he must increase. In the Amplified Version, it says, he must become more prominent, but I must become less so. In the NIV, it says, he must become greater, but I must become less. So really, it doesn't make any difference which translation you go to. It kind of says the same thing. He must increase and I must decrease. Now this morning, I'm going to be talking to you about something that I really feel like is an absolute pivotal point that every individual that knows Jesus Christ comes to in their walk with him. And that is whether or not we're going to allow him to increase and us to decrease. And I believe the way the Apostle Paul put it is, I must die daily. In 1 Corinthians 15, that's what the Apostle Paul said to the church. He says, I die daily. I die daily. And folks, I got to tell you, you know, you go, you know, what is this about dying every day? You know, do I literally physically die? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this battle that rages. And I want to tell you something. It's one whale of a fight. A few months back, my dog got a hold of a raccoon. Or I should say the raccoon got a hold of my dog. It was an incredible fight. I'm telling you, she yanked him down off of a little banister on the porch and the fight was on. And I was out there trying to kill the raccoon so as to protect my dog because every once in a while the dog would get a hold of the raccoon and the raccoon would scream. And then a minute, the dog would start screaming because the raccoon had a hold of it. I'm out there like a knucklehead running around trying to shoot this raccoon and I finally got the dog. The raccoon separated enough and I went, and the gun went click. Oh, no. And it was a stupid single shot, so I yanked a bullet out. I put another one in, and these bullets, we'd found them in an old abandoned house, so I thought they weren't any good. And so I'm running along, finally get the dog, and blood's going everywhere, and the raccoon, and a click again, and click again. I go, oh, man. It was a fight, though. Fight that lasted about 100 yards. After it was over with, you know, and I hate to confess this in front of people, but, you know, I grew up with guns and shooting stuff all my life. And my son asked me, he says, Dad, was that gun on safety? It was. So I ejected a whole shell of bullets all the way down almost to the creek. The bullets I was throwing out, they were perfectly good. It's just I didn't know how to operate the gun. Whenever my dog heard that the gun was on safety, she just looked at me and just shook her head. You could have saved me about 80 yards worth of misery. She just shook her head, went back to the house, never said a word to me, but I'm telling you, that face said it all. I have to tell you, though, that night, that was one kind of fight that went on. The raccoon, he lost. The dog finally got the best of him, and he lost. But man, that was quite a fight. It was exciting. The neighbors even heard it. Neighbor wanted to know what I was doing over there. I said, I was just running around with the gun on safety, just throwing shells on the lawn. But what we don't understand, folks, is this. There is a fight that ferocious taking place in every one of our lives today. And you go, well, what are you talking about? Has a raccoon jumped on me? No. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, the fight that's going on is between our flesh and our spirit. We just got through finishing up a 21-day fast, and I wonder if any one of you that decided, say, listen, I'm going to fast for a given period of time, I wonder if your flesh had a fight with your spirit. I want to tell you something. Your spirit is just fine with fasting. Your spirit is going, yeah, baby, we're not going to eat. But your flesh is totally different. Your flesh is saying, say what? We're not going to eat. Oh, yes, we are going to eat. Come on. And your flesh and your spirit, they wage war against each other. The Apostle Paul says to the Galatians, he says, guys, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That's what the Apostle Paul's talking about here whenever he says, die to yourself daily. Die to yourself daily. The Apostle Paul talked about it over and over and over, about dying to ourselves. It's how we walk in the Spirit. That's all about dying to ourselves. Folks, let me just explain this to you. If you do not die to yourself, you will never walk in the Spirit. Because yourself is the flesh. And the flesh is greedy. The flesh is jealous. The flesh is... Do I need to make a longer list than this? The flesh is the pits. I wish I didn't have to struggle against the flesh, but so often I do. And the Apostle Paul says, guys, you got to die to yourself every day. You've got to put yourself to death every day. Your flesh has to die if you are going to walk in the Spirit. And folks, this morning, this whole message is about what we can do for those people that are around us. Because if you are a living, breathing, born again, Bible-believing Christian, you've had that John chapter 3 experience and you know you're on your way to heaven, I will guarantee you this. At one time in your Christian walk, you have had these ideas of doing something great for the kingdom of God. Come on. You've had these ideas that have come through your mind about doing something great for the kingdom of God. Let me just explain something to you. That is born by the Spirit inside of you. Those ideas, those dreams about doing something great for the kingdom of God, they're Spirit generated on the inside of us. But this is what it requires if we're going to do something great for the kingdom of God. We are going to have to learn to die to ourselves. Because this is it. The world needs to see the light of Jesus Christ shining through us. It does not need to see our flesh. And John said it so aptly. He said, guys, I've got to decrease so as that he might increase. The whole issue of dying to self is the absolute key to victorious Christian living. I believe that there's so much more that hinges on that idea of dying to ourselves than we can even understand this morning. It literally means that you have to die to yourself daily. This is why so many people who are saved and they love the Lord, they live beneath the blessings and they live in that constant arena of turmoil. You don't know how it is sometimes as a pastor whenever I just hear one sad story after the next sad story after the next sad story. And so often those sad stories all connect, and what it is, it's about us living in the flesh. It's about us satisfying what it is our flesh is crying out for instead of saying, Jesus Christ, I want you in me. I don't want to be here. I want you to increase. I've got to decrease if that's going to happen. This is how the people know that Christ as their Savior, they end up committing adultery, they end up cheating, they end up lying, they end up getting in bondage and drugs and alcohol and sex and gambling and shopping, they get greedy, so on and so forth. People who know Jesus Christ are doing these things because they live to themselves, not to Jesus. I mean, why would anybody commit adultery? To satisfy the lusts of the flesh. Are you with me? The Spirit is never willing to commit adultery. Come on. And whenever we're dead to ourselves, whenever we get up in the morning, we say, I surrender to you. I surrender to your will. That's whenever the Holy Spirit begins to minister in our lives. And let me tell you something. The Holy Spirit can steer us away from those things that will destroy our lives. People who are enslaved to alcohol or drugs or they cheat, they lie, whatever it is that they don't die to themselves daily. They end up walking in the flesh, not in the Spirit. So there's people that wonder all the time, I mean, folks, how can a pastor leave his wife for somebody else? I mean, I just got a phone call. It's been less than a week ago. And I was talking with a friend, and he said, man, have you heard about so-and-so? And it was a friend of mine, and, you know, we were mutual friends. And he told me this terrible story. All of his kids are in their upper teenage years. In fact, I think he maybe have one that's maybe 20 or so. And he left his wife for another woman. Now, here's the ironic part about it. In that same church, in this pastor's ministry, one of his deacons left his wife about 3 weeks earlier for another woman. How can a pastor do that? Are y'all following what I'm saying? I mean, they've been married for like 25 years. How can somebody do that? I mean, how can somebody that's a Sunday school teacher neglect their children because of alcohol? Going home and laying on the couch and drinking all day long while the child is gone to school. How can that happen? I mean, how can you raise your hands and speak in tongues and be used by God to touch people's lives on a daily basis? How can you sin against God the very next day? I mean, these are things that I think we should all wrestle with. You know, how can you be in a worship service like this morning where the presence of God just envelops all of our lives, and yet maybe tomorrow we lose our temper and we lose our tongue? And are y'all with me? How can it happen? I think the answer is whenever you fail to die to yourself every day, you will be walking in the flesh, not the Spirit. And it's a battle. I want to tell you, every once in a while, I think my flesh screams out just like that raccoon. You ever had your flesh scream out? Whenever you wanted to do something so bad, but you knew that you shouldn't. And so you say no to your flesh, and your flesh goes, ah! One morning during this fast, you know, breakfast is like my main meal of the day. I love breakfast, and I don't. My family doesn't even like breakfast, but I get up and cook it, and they eat it just to be polite. one morning I woke up and I didn't eat no breakfast. And I tell you, man, my body was saying, bacon, bacon. I came to the office and I looked around for some bacon. I'm telling you, if there'd have been bacon in my office, I have an idea there would have been a fight. I stayed away from the bacon all day long. But it was screaming out. My flesh was screaming out. You see, the answer is, all of these questions is our spirits. Our spirits are not reigning. It is our flesh reigning. And so the question that you and I both need to address today, and basically this is the whole crux of my message right here, I kind of just have one point, is how does a person die to yourself? Because it's necessary if we're going to walk this Christian walk. It's necessary to allow the Spirit of God in so that we decrease. He's got to increase. Folks, if this world is going to get the ministry that it needs, if your neighbors, if your family are going to get the ministry that they need, it has got to be Jesus flowing through us. The light of the world is on the inside of us. It's got to be coming through. And the only way it can is if you and I say no to our flesh and yes to the Spirit. Just one point this morning. That's it. How do you die to yourself? The first step is an action. How many of y'all know what an action is? See, I can sit on the couch all day long and watch TV and think about going fishing. I can even watch fishing shows. Whoa, look at that bass. Whoa, look at all them crappie. Are y'all with me? But until I get off the couch and actually do it, I've not been fishing yet. I can come to church and I can talk about fishing all day long. Man, yesterday I watched the Outdoor Channel all day long. Nothing but fishing shows. I went to a bass tournament, a crappie tournament. I seen them fishing offshore. I can say all of that stuff. And it goes, but you didn't go fishing. I know, but man, I watched fishing. Are y'all with me? Folks, the first step here in dying to ourselves is an action. It means you got to get up off the couch and do something. You can't just come to the altar and say, oh, Lord, I'm dying to myself. I'm just dying to myself. I'm just dying to myself. Folks, it's an action. It involves us getting up and do something. Something that you and I must do. It's an action. Dying to ourself is this conscious choice that we must make, and nobody can make it for us. Can't be done by somebody else. It's an act of surrendering our lives completely to Jesus Christ. The reason God's Word talks so much about dying to ourselves daily is because it's something that we must do each and every day. Our Christian life is not just something that's 1 or 2 hours on a Sunday morning. It's 24/7. Every day. It's not just dying to ourselves on Sunday morning. Boy, I'd really like to go fishing today, but I'm going to go to church. I'm just going to put my flesh down. I'm going to go sit, and I might sleep a little bit because I stayed up too late. It's not just that 2 hours in church. It's every day, 24/7. It's making that conscious choice to put ourselves down so that Jesus might increase. I want to just tell you something right now. Just stop. This is not even in my notes. This is just absolutely free. There would be so much more good stuff in every one of us if we would take this little bit of advice. If Jesus was more in you than you were in you, you'd be a better person to live with. Amen. Come on. If Jesus was more alive on the inside of us than we were alive on the inside of us, we would be better people to live with. We'd be better for this church. We'd be better for our families. We'd be better for the community. Are y'all with me on this one? And so John got it right. He says, guys, I've got to decrease. He's got to increase. And the only way that he can increase in our lives is that you and I start putting to death our flesh. So I think since it's something we got to do every day, now this is just my idea here. Since it's something we got to do every day, die to ourselves daily, I think that it just fits early in the morning. And some of you, I've seen you just now, early in the morning, get thee behind me, Satan. How dare you say early? Okay, let me rephrase that. Can I just say morning? It's something you do in the morning. Now, if you sleep till the afternoon, just pretend like whenever you get up in the afternoon, that's morning. You see, since we got to do it every day, I think that it's a good thing that we just fit it right there in the morning whenever we wake up. If we got to do this dying to ourselves every day, just whenever we first open our eyes to this new day, before we do anything, we just take a moment and we just thank God for the day that wasn't even promised to us. Come on. We just thank you, God, for this brand new day, and we make a conscious choice to completely surrender our lives to Jesus Christ that day. Just say today. You may be sitting right there on the side of your bed. Man, I mean, the blood has not even started flowing to the extremities of your body yet. You're just kind of like a piece of jello on the side of the bed. And you just, the first thing, you just, because it just so enters into your spirit, you got to go, man, for Jesus to increase. And let me just tell you something. I need Jesus to increase in my life. I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. I am a needy person. I need him to increase. And so right there at the edge of my bed, I just say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I want to die today so that you might live in me. I'm dying to my flesh, Lord. Literally tell him to take your life and to use it for his glory. To take your life and to use it for his glory. Now, this is all while you're sitting on the edge of the bed. In the morning, you're kind of like a piece of jello. You haven't even got the blood. I'm not talking about after you get your coffee. I'm not talking about after you showered and shaved and shampooed. I'm just talking about the very first thing in the morning. I'm talking about doing it verbally. I'm not talking about, you know, under your breath or, you know, silently. I'm talking about confessing it. Just say, Lord, I thank you for this day you've given me. And I'm just going to tell you, I want you to take my life and use it for your glory today. And then maybe one more thing. Use me, God, as an instrument of blessing. And Lord, help me to tame my flesh. Give me a whip, Lord. You know, that raccoon story is still coming back to me. See, there's been a few times that I've really gotten ruthless with my flesh. Ruthless. That's what I was that night. I was going to kill that raccoon. Some of y'all going, oh, you should have just trapped him and let him go. You weren't there. Next time I have that happen, I'll call you. You come over and trap him. That little thing was like Satan. His teeth were like 9 inches long. 10 inches long. I'm an animal lover. I love animals too, but that thing right there had crossed from being an animal to being something that was supernatural. Every once in a while, I've gotten ruthless with my flesh, and I've said, man, you're dying, man. I'm telling you, you're dying, flesh. But I think after all the dust had settled, all I was doing was shooting blanks at it. You know what I'm saying? Had the gun on safety. Come on, man. Some of y'all identify what I'm saying, you know. I'm going to kill you, flesh. Not really. I'm just joking. The gun's not even loaded. Not even loaded. But it sounds good here at the altar. Come on, man. Y'all with me? I mean, the flesh is carrying on, and I'm like going, I'm going to shoot you. It's on safe. Folks, in the mornings, whenever we get up and we're serious about this, if we want Jesus Christ to increase, we've got to decrease. There's no way to manage this without it. You and I have to die in order for Jesus to come in and be who it is he wants to be in our lives, to minister through our lives as an instrument of blessing, use us for this world that we're in the midst of. We've got to die. We've got to die, and so we got to get ruthless. In the mornings, whenever we get up, man, we can't patty cake our flesh. We got to say, you are dying. I'm going to get ruthless with you today. You're not bossing me around. You're not going to lead my life around. It is the Spirit of God inside of me that's going to order my steps today. And then you got to go, and I mean it. You can't go, it's not loaded. Come on. What's he talking about? You got to get mean. You got to get ruthless. Because this world needs Jesus. And we are the instrument that he has chosen to bring Jesus to this world. See, whenever we get saved, we've not only asked Jesus into our lives by faith, but we literally give our lives to Jesus. I mean, Lord, come in and live. But it's more than that. It's I surrender all that I am to you. In dying to ourselves every day, all we're doing is we're reaffirming that our life doesn't belong to us any longer. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And so as we surrender our life afresh every day to Jesus Christ at the start of each day, we're allowing our lives to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and not by our flesh. It's no longer us, but God that is in complete control of our lives. No longer us, but God that's in complete control of our lives. Can I just make a statement here that it may sound foreign to so many of us, but I want to tell you in Western Christianity, we accept God and salvation and dying to ourselves all on our terms. I'm telling you. We do it. We try so hard to fit God into our lives and to still do it our way. And I got to tell you something. Our Western Christianity is not biblical. It's not biblical. Biblical Christianity doesn't have nothing to do with fitting God into our lives. To doing it our way once we accept Jesus Christ. Are y'all following what I'm saying? Folks, I got to tell you, there is coming a wave of Christianity across this planet that I believe God is going to say to mankind, you can come to me, but you're going to do it my way. Come on. Wasn't very a strong combination of amens there, but I'll take what I can get. We got to come to a place where we say, God, you are in complete control of my life. Not according to the way Western Christianity has been preached, but I'm telling you, you are in control of my life completely. You got to trade in your thoughts, you got to trade in your desires for the thoughts and the desires of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says this. It says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ that lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. This is the Apostle Paul saying. He says, guys, I've been crucified with Christ. Crucifixion denotes death. The whole process, it only takes a few moments whenever you're sitting there at the edge of your bed like a piece of jello on Monday morning, on Tuesday morning, on Wednesday morning, whatever morning of the week you get up, you just say, Lord, these are the most important moments of my day, is me surrendering to you and to your will. Me dying to myself so that you might live inside of me. Me becoming less so that you might become more. I believe this. Whenever we don't go through this process each and every morning that we wake up, we start going our own way through the day. Come on. We start doing our own thing through the day. And I got to be honest with you. I think sometimes, you know, we can be chicken whenever it comes to ministry. Have you ever been chicken whenever you're doing ministry? Like, let me give you an example. I've done this many times. Like whenever you're down at Piggly Wiggly and you're there in the vegetable section and you're, you know, checking the tomatoes and avocados and stuff because you're going to make some pico de gallo after a while. Woo, baby. And so you look across and the Holy Spirit just brings your attention and says, I want you to go pray for that lady right there. She's going through a real tough time. And you go, oh, Lord, I don't even know that lady. What if that lady's a pastor's wife and she ain't going through something? I'm in real trouble because I'm just regular me. And Lord, I got to get home because my wife is waiting on these tomatoes. I can't. I'm a chicken. It's hard. It's hard just to walk up to a total stranger and say, hey, listen, I'm standing over there by the tomatoes. Make some pico de gallo here in a little bit. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you needed prayer. That's hard. See, whenever that's hard, whenever we're walking in the flesh, are y'all with me? And see, in the mornings, whenever we don't get up and walk through this exercise of saying, Lord, I lay it down right here. My flesh, I'm putting it down. I want my spirit to rise in me. I want you to rise in me. I want to be less so that you can become more. You see, what we do is we lose our confidence whenever we walk in the flesh. Folks, I got to tell you something, man. Whenever we come out of prayer and fasting, and whenever we come out of that prayer closet and the Holy Spirit has energized us, you go down to Piggly Wiggly, man, and you don't even need God to tell you something over there in the tomato section. You just look around and go, man, he looks like he needs prayer. Come here. I'm serious. You lose your confidence for ministry whenever you don't die to yourself. The day just literally begins to weigh you down. We got to die to ourselves. Sadly, there's a lot of people that go days and even weeks without really dying to ourselves. It usually takes the consequences of some kind of poor choice that they made during that time to take them back to the Lord. Folks, let me just tell you, whenever you're living by the flesh, you can make some really stupid decisions. Come on. Whatever you are living to the flesh, you can make some really stupid decisions. Whenever you are living to the flesh, you can make some really stupid decisions. Let me just make sure y'all understand this. Your way doesn't work. Your way doesn't work. Oh, no, my way works. No, let me, everybody just needs to jump on this. Your way doesn't work. In fact, just turn to whoever it is next to you and just tell them that so they'll hear it again. Your way does not work. Doesn't work. Your way just doesn't work. You see, this is it. God's way works. And for God's way to take place in our lives, we have got to decrease so that He might increase. Come on. We've got to put our flesh down because our flesh is always telling us what to do. Our flesh is saying, this is the way you need to go. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to say. And your spirit, whenever it gets going on the inside of you and your flesh gets diminished, folks, your spirit says, this is the way you need to go. Listen, you can take that with confidence. I guarantee you, your spirit tells you it's going to happen. It'll work. Come on. It'll work. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Might be a shock to everybody in this room. But you can never run your life better than God can run your life. I mean, some of you in this room, do you kind of resent a backseat driver? No, not at all. I love my wife to tell me how to drive. Love it. Last time she told me how to drive, I said, I love you, I love you, I love you. Thank you. You see, God wants to tell you how to drive. He does. He wants to tell you how to do more than just drive, though. He wants to tell you how to live your whole life. And some of you are going, I don't want anybody to tell me how to do my whole life. Let me just go back and say this. Your way doesn't work. It doesn't work. I've had so many people in my office, so many people I've ministered over the years. I've said, hey, you've tried it your way for 25 years, and all you've done is make a mess out of your life. Are you ready just to try it with God's way for, let's just say, a year? Let's just say 6 months. You've messed up for 25 years. You ready to do it for God just 1 6-month period? And I'll just tell you something. If God's way doesn't work for 6 months, you can go back to the way you were living before you ever came in here. Just start doing your way again. You know why I'm confident whenever I say that? Because God's way does work. Come on, our way doesn't work. We can never run our lives better than God can. And the sooner that you and I realize that, the more peace, the more joy, the more abundance that we're going to know on this journey that we're going through in life. Folks, you know, this message this morning is absolutely critical that we get it. It's absolutely critical. It's perhaps one of the most critical message as to us living a victorious Christian life than any message I could be preaching today. All the benefits of God's Word exist and they're available to us to believe. But folks, there is a price to pay for every one of them. And that life is that price is a surrendered life. It's us saying, God, it's you, not me. It's us yielding ourselves to the Lord. And again, I got to tell you something. It's a choice. It's an act that nobody can force us to commit. You can leave this place this morning and you could go about your business running your life like you want to run your life. But I will tell you this. You will inevitably mess it up. You'll mess it up. And again, that's one of those things you can't just do one time and then forget about it. Tomorrow morning, you get there on the side of your bed, you know, you kind of feeling like Jell-O, no spine, you're just kind of flipping and flopping around there on the ceiling, and you just sit up and go, okay, I'm going to do what Pastor said. Father, I thank you for this day, man. This is awesome that I even get a new day to do this thing, but I just want to get really, really violent with my flesh, Lord. I don't want my flesh to be running my life. I want your spirit to be running my life. And so I surrender myself to you. I want to be an instrument of blessing in your hands today, God. You see, we got to do that again on Tuesday. And Wednesday. And some of you are flipping out already. Good, 3 days in a row. And see, then we got to do it on Thursday and Friday and Saturday, and then we got to just keep doing it until Jesus comes back and gets us. Are y'all with me? Because folks, it's a 365-day, 24/7. It's every day. We've got to say, I got to die to my flesh, because folks, this is it. You have got to decrease so Jesus can increase. We've got to die daily, every day. Every day, every day, every day. Did y'all get that? Every day. Each and every morning whenever we wake up, we've got to make this conscious choice to die to ourselves, to surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, to walk in the Spirit instead of the flesh. And oh man, I'm telling you, there's going to be a fight between your flesh and your spirit. I mean, you're going to hear it going on. You'll be sitting at your desk typing. All of a sudden, you're going to hear it. Wah, wah, wah. Just like the raccoon and the dog. You're going to remember that story. You don't believe the story? Go home and ask my dog. She'll tell you. She was there. She just walked away. Oh, my goodness. The gun was on safety. What? You could have put me out of this misery 80 yards ahead of time, but you didn't. I'm telling you, the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you, He wants to come alive. He wants to rule and reign. He wants to walk you through this life, to protect you and keep you. He wants to do things in your life that absolutely astound you. But in order for that to happen, we have got to allow the Spirit of God to increase, and we've got to do everything in our vocabulary, in our arsenal, to keep our flesh down. Kill it every day. Make that conscious choice to die, to allow Jesus Christ to control our lives. I mean, see, I know we're going to have troubles with this. I know we're going to have troubles with this. Because I'm sitting here asking the people to allow Jesus Christ to control your life. And so many of us in this room, me included, I don't even want him to control the remote control. I mean, Jesus, come to live with you. Would you just relinquish the remote to him? I go home and it's in my wife's hand. I take it away from her. I go, you do not know how to run this. Give it to me. I'm an expert. My wife is, she's going to hit me one of these days for doing that. I know it. I mean, whenever we won't even give up the control of the remote to somebody, are you with me? And I'm saying, man, you need to give up complete control of everything that's in your life to Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's going to be hard. But this is what I will say. Even though it's hard, it is worth it. It's worth it. We're not our own. We belong to Jesus Christ. The Bible says we were bought with a price. And I have to tell you that the message that I'm preaching this morning, it's a meat and potatoes message to the church of Jesus Christ. It's about getting on and being what it is that God has called you to be. It's where the rubber meets the road as regard to our Christian walk. I'll just tell you, if you're 5 years into your Christian walk and you're still just struggling, I'm going to tell you something, there's something wrong. You're 20 years into your Christian walk and you're still just struggling. There's something wrong. Come on. Folks, I expect baby Christians to struggle. I expect them to. I expect them to come and say, man, I just had this horrendous struggle this past week and my flesh just won out every day. I expect that from a baby Christian. That's why there's people around them praying for them, nurturing them, loving them, educating them. Are you with me? But whenever you've been in the kingdom 5 years, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, and you're still struggling with it, there's something wrong. See, what I'm preaching this morning is something really that most people don't want to talk about. They like to talk about the benefits of being saved, but boy, we just don't like it much whenever it starts talking about we must surrender completely to Him. Let me just kind of tell you where it is with me. I really believe this wholeheartedly in my own life that this is the difference between me living a victorious Christian life or a defeated Christian life. To live that victorious Christian life, to walk in Christ's victory, come on. Let me just tell you something, man. Whenever you're walking in Christ's victory, you cannot, somebody couldn't beat a smile off you if they had a broom doing it. Are y'all with me? But so often we walk around, we don't have no victory. And one of the reasons why we don't have victory is because we haven't surrendered. Our flesh is still running the show. I'm telling you, we cannot run our lives as good as God can run our lives. To live in that victory, though, is to die to ourselves. To live in that victory is to say, Jesus, you have to increase. Thus, I've got to decrease.